this morning, God's Word comes to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to be reading just the first 11 verses of this chapter. Second Corinthians 1, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for you know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many. Hear we in the reading of God's holy word. You know, children, I think one of the questions I get asked most as a minister is, how do you pick the text that you're going to preach on Sunday? And there are really two different ways of picking text. There's two types of text of ways to do that. One is to be what we call a series preacher. A series preacher goes through a particular series, perhaps through the Confessions, perhaps through a particular book of the Bible, perhaps through a particular theme and highlights all the texts that show us that theme. That's a series preacher. The other type of preacher is what we call an occasional preacher. Not that he just preaches on occasion, but he uses occasions to select the text for the day. Well, I think, kids, you know that your minister is pretty much a series preacher. That's pretty much what I do all the time. We preach through the Heidelberg Catechism. We preach through the Belgic Confession. We go through different books of the Bible at night. Today, I'm going to change that. Today, we're going to have an occasional sermon. And the occasion is the birth of Noah. Now, not even so much his baptism. It was a joy to celebrate that this morning, but I'm not going to pretend that this is a baptism sermon. One of the things that I always do when I go to the hospital to visit the babies after they're born is I ask the question, is he or she named after anyone? Because, you know, sometimes you name a son or daughter after the father's side of the family, after the mother's side of the family, on rare special occasions, after the minister of the church. There's various ways of naming a child. But when I asked the Bachers, you know, Noah, that's a really a beautiful name. Why did you choose the name Noah? And what they said was that when they found out that there may be difficulties with Noah's health, they chose the name Noah because Noah means comfort. They acknowledged right away that God would be there to comfort them and to comfort him in times of difficulty. So I thought about that. I thought, what a wonderful thing to reflect upon for all of us. Because we each face different challenges. We each face difficulties of different sorts in our lives. So this morning we're going to talk about comfort. The comfort that God gives his people. As we think about texts that we might have used for this occasional sermon, there are a variety of texts that talk about comfort. One of the first ones that came to my mind was 2 Corinthians chapter 1. One of the ways, kids, that you can know what a text is about in the Bible is to look at the words in that text and what words are repeated. So I'm going to read once again from verses 3 through 7. And I want you to listen, kids, for the word comfort or comforted or comforts and see how many times Paul uses that in these few verses. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Oh, there's one. Okay. Who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken. For we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. How many times in those few verses? 10 times. 10 times Paul uses the word comfort. What does he want to talk about? He wants to give a message of comfort to this Corinthian church, a church that was going through some difficulties, a church that had some hardships. And so Paul comes with this letter, this message of comfort for these particular people, but also a letter that spills over to us. The word of God for the people of God. God comes to us today with a message of comfort. Paul speaks about the necessity of that comfort when he talks about his own experience. Verse 8, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia." Paul says, look, I myself have had difficulties. I've had hardships. I've needed comfort. We don't want you to be ignorant about that. Now, it's interesting, he says that we don't want you to be ignorant. We want you to know about these things. But then he doesn't really go on to tell them exactly what those things were. Oh, he gives some reference to them later in the book. If you want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he talks about some hardships he's experienced. These are the types of things he went through. He went through far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, often near death. 5 times, he says, I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from the other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. These are the types of things he went through. But he doesn't tell us specifically what it was. Oh, these types of things happened to me. And I think it's good he doesn't give us exactly what the situation was. Because if he said, this is the whole list, this is everything, we might say, look, but Paul, my particular problem isn't on your list. Maybe God comforted you, but will he really comfort me? Paul says, we don't want you to be ignorant, but we're not going to tell you exactly what it was either. Because God's comfort is sufficient to cover all of our difficulties, all of our trials. He speaks here to the church and he says, look, God is able to comfort you, even in desperate times. He says, we were so utterly burdened, beyond our strength, that we despaired of life itself. Paul said, we felt as if God had given us up to death. We felt as if he'd completely rejected us. And it would just be simpler if we died. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, he says. That God had left us. And that we would just pray, God, take us away now. Out of this affliction, out of this burden, out of this difficulty, he speaks to a church and gives them words of comfort. A church that needed to hear those words. We studied a while ago the Corinthian church, when we did our study of 1 Corinthians. It was a church with difficulties, hardships, personal difficulties, difficulties in their homes, difficulties in their families, difficulties in their church, difficulties in their work. And Paul says, look, as as you have these difficult situations, God is there to comfort you. They are a church that had difficulties in their homes, difficulties in their marriages. There were those who were struggling with immorality, struggling with lust and desire. And yet Paul says, God is able to comfort you in these times of affliction. When family troubles seem overwhelming, God is there to bring comfort. There were those who had difficulty with the church, who had difficulty with their brothers and sisters in Christ, who had difficulty with the leadership of the church. There were divisions, there were factions. And yet Paul says, God is able to comfort us in these times of difficulty. Comfort us in these times of hardship. There were difficulties at work. They were not getting the proper wages. And Paul says, God can deal with even these things too. In times of necessity, in times of despair, when we despair even of life, we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength, we despaired of life itself, God is there. You see, because it's so easy for us to say, what do I have to do to get through this difficulty? What do I have to do to make it through this trouble? And we try to rely upon ourselves. And Paul points them exactly in another direction. He says, verse 9, after we had felt the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. To make us rely not on ourselves, but to rely upon God. This is where we need to be brought. That it's not up to me to get out of the difficulty. Whether that be sickness, whether that be financial difficulty, whether that be relationship difficulty. It's not finally up to me to do that. But to rely upon God, who is in control of all things. God who can change the hearts of our loved ones. God who can work on our physical bodies. Our reliance is not on what we can do. That's the beginning of our comfort right there. But on the God who cares for us. On the God who is concerned about us. Paul begins this section, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. We as fathers would do anything for our children, anything to help them in times of difficulty. How much more our Father in heaven, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. We sang earlier today from Psalm 103 about a God who cares for us as a father cares for his children. So the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. We see God's fatherly care already back in the Garden of Eden as Adam and Eve find themselves lost in sin and God comes seeking them. And he calls them to confession. And God goes so far as even to take care of their physical concerns. He clothes them. They had tried to do it themselves. They weren't able to with these leaves. But God clothes them with skins. God the Father provides what they need. We see in the story of the flood, as God is preparing to destroy the world because of its wickedness, he saves Noah and his family. And as we read that story, we see God himself brings them into the ark and God himself shuts them in to protect them from the storms around them. Genesis 8 says, and God remembered Noah and his family, remembered them for good. They were shut up inside the ark. They must have thought at some point, has God forgotten about us? The whole world's destroyed. Has he forgotten about us? God remembered Noah and his family. We have those same comforts today. We have a God who remembers us in times of difficulty. A God who remembers us in times of trial. A God who is powerful enough to do something about this. Verse 5, for as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. God the Father comforts us through the ministry of his Son. Jesus Christ, the one who came and left the glories of heaven, and the one who knew suffering, the one who knew affliction, the one who knew difficulty, the one who had family problems, whose family tried to take care of him because they were questioning whether he really was who he said he was. The Jesus Christ who came and was rejected by his people, by the church, by the leadership of the church. He knew difficulty. The one whose closest friends left him. The one who was even forsaken by God. Christ understands our hardships. Christ has been there. In the difficult times, we can look to him for assurance and for comfort. He is the one who has undergone suffering, undergone difficulty, even God himself forsaking him. But what happened? Did God leave him in the grave? Did God leave him in the difficulty? Did God leave him in the hardship? He was raised again to new life. He went through a time of trial and yet was restored by God and given a name above every name. Jesus Christ is Lord. God at times may take us through hardship, through trial, but he is the God who will take us through the hardship and restore us. The God who is powerful enough to raise his Son Jesus Christ from the dead and bring blessing to all of us, his people, certainly is powerful enough to care for us now in our difficulties. That's what Paul says, verse 10. He says, he delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. Paul looks back. He has delivered us in the past. We can trust him because we can look back in the past. God's blessings to us, what he has done for us. He has delivered us before. And Paul says, by faith, and he will deliver us. We can look to the future, trusting he will deliver us again. And right now, on him we have set our hope that he will deliver us right now again in this situation. God is the God who goes with us in times of difficulty. God is the God who is with us in times of trial. Probably one of the most beautiful texts of comfort that we turn to so often in Scripture is Psalm 23. Psalm 23, the Lord, we sang that before the sermon this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And the heart of that psalm, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, trial, affliction, even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. Why? Because you are with me. God does not send us through the valley alone. God does not send us through the valley to rely on ourselves, on our own strength. I will be with you, he says. I go through the trial with you. God comes to be with his people. He did that so perfectly in his Son, Jesus Christ, sending him to earth to live with us, to save us from our affliction. Not simply the afflictions that are temporary, but our deepest affliction, our harshest woe. He sent his Son to save us from the death of sin itself and to give us new life. A God who is powerful enough to do that can certainly be with us in our physical ailments, in our relationship problems, in our difficulties at home and at work. I am with you. He is the source of our comfort. We can rely upon him. While God is ultimately the source of our comfort, he does engage us as a body in bringing comfort to each other. That's how he ends this section. Verse 11. You also, he says, you also must help us by prayer. You also must help us by prayer. He says, we trust God. He has delivered us. He will deliver us. He's delivering us right now. But you're involved. You also must help us by prayer. As a community of believers, we are called to hold each other up in prayer. Praying for needs. Praying for concerns. Praying for those going through trials. Sometimes we say, you know, all we can do is pray. All we can do? You mean all we can do is talk to the God who is able and in control of everything? The God who can turn everything out for his good, that's all we can do? What a great thing we can do! To pray for each other. To hold up one another going through times of difficulty and trial. You too must help by prayer. Paul says, we have this shared responsibility to bear each other's burdens, to bring petitions to God. And he says, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted through the prayers of many. Yes, we bring our petitions to God, but when he sees fit to answer, we also, as a body, bring him our thanksgiving. Bring him our joy that he has been so good and gracious to us. That he's heard our prayers, he's heard our cries, and he's answered in a way that is so pleasing. We bring our thanksgiving to God, trusting that he will accept that and multiply that again, that he will give thanks on behalf of our blessings granted through the prayers of many. When God answers the prayers of one family in the church, it's not just that family that rejoices, but the church rejoices. The thanks of many. And when we go through these difficulties, and God takes us through, it's easy for us to say, you know, I never want to go through that again. I never want to even remember that again. Difficult situations, hardships, broken relationships, whatever it might be, and we say, I just want to put it all behind me. That's not what Paul tells us we should do. Verse 4, a God who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. When we go through times of trial, times of pain, perhaps it is the case that God is preparing us to minister to others. Oh, maybe not right away, maybe not in 5 years, maybe not in 10 years, maybe 20 years. And we see someone going through a time of difficulty and hardship, and the first thing that we often think about when we're going through those things is, no one else has gone through this. I'm the only one that's ever faced this trial.
But as the body, we can come alongside and we can say, we know how you're feeling. We know what you're going through. Because God took us through that 5, 10, 20, 30 years ago. And we can attest that God is faithful. When God takes us through difficulty, when God takes us through hardship, yes, we want to put the pain behind us. But the lessons of comfort that we learned, that grace that we received, we are to use that we might be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God prepares us to serve Him and His people. Paul gives a church that faced trials, that faced difficulties, a message of comfort. A message that comes to us today. The name Noah means comfort. We're not comforted today by a little child. We are comforted by a God. A God who knows that little child and every other child in the congregation and everyone in the congregation. A God who brings comfort to you. I don't know perhaps exactly where you are in that walk with God today. Maybe you're saying, hey, everything's going great. God's taken us through. It's been in the past now, and we're moving forward. Maybe you're in the midst of trial, of trouble. Paul comes to you and he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You can be sure. On Him we have set our hope, and He will deliver us again. He has delivered and He will deliver. A God who is able to save you from the pain of hell itself can take you through the difficulties, through the hardships in this life. Rely not on what you can do, but rely upon Him. Let's join together in prayer. Lord God, thank You for words of comfort, words of assurance, words that meet us in times of difficulty. We thank You that You're the God who knows all things and who does all things well, the God who is able to meet all of our needs. For those this morning who are here, O Lord, who are going through times of difficulty, times of hardship, whether that be physical, whether that be emotional, whether that be spiritual, we thank You for Your word. A word which sustains us, a word which encourages us. Will You work powerfully? And we pray, O God, that You might use us in that process, that we might bring words of comfort and assurance of who You are and what You are able to do, what You have done for us in the past. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.